Okay. Luke chapter 2. Let's just read verses 8 through 14. Some of this was read earlier already in the Christmas program, but we'll read it again. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Y'all realize this is the seed of Abraham that was promised way back there. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is it. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It's not where you usually look for a king, even an earthly king. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All right, I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes here. I don't have a lot to say, and I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't already know, but I'm going to remind you of some things. There's not been a greater influence on the human race than Jesus Christ. While we're thinking about Him being born this morning, you just need to stop and think about the fact that this person that we're talking about, this babe in a manger, made more of a difference than anything or anybody that's ever been or ever lived. Right. Nobody comes even close to equaling his influence. The facts are evident, and the evidence is indisputable that is true. Nobody's ever made. Jesus outshines them all without one single exception. Now the world worships people like Elvis Presley and people like that. You know, the king, they call him the king. But let me tell you something, it'll fade out just like everything else. The only reason that's so is because there's still people alive that worshiped him when he was alive, and they're the diehard Hank clingers, you know, that cling on to it, but he'll fade right away with all the rest of that's in the dustbin of history. And so will every other celebrity, every other sports star, every politician, every king, every beauty pageant winner. They all come and they go. But he never goes. He never fades. He never goes out of fashion. He never changes. He outshines them all the kings that ever ruled. I mean, there were some powerful ones. There were some that ruled over a lot of the earth. They were big in their day. But Jesus lived 33 years on this earth, and he made more of an impact, and still does, than any king who ever lived. All the empires that were ever built, they've not made as much difference in the human race as Jesus has. That's the truth. And all the philosophers and the wise men that ever lived, none of them have ever affected humanity like Jesus Christ has and still does. His power is like it always was. It hasn't waned or waned, hasn't faded, hasn't weakened. Don't think that because we live in apostate times. Don't think that because we live in such wicked times that Jesus has lost his power and his influence. No, he's not. If you knew what was really going on in the world right now, I hear things every now and then. It just encouraged my heart because it just reminds me, no, God's not dead. Jesus hasn't lost his power. The blood still cleanses from sin. Yes, it does. And when we're thinking about him being born as a babe in a manger, we just need to remember who we're talking about here. He's the greatest person that the world ever knew. Indisputably. Not even a pagan, not even an infidel can argue with that fact. They can't. We reckon time from his birth. Yeah. That's our calendar. That's how we figure time. And reckon where we're at in history is from his birth. It's not even an argument that this is true, that he was the greatest influence and is the greatest influence that's ever been on humanity completely. All the religions that men have invented and promoted and experimented with, none of them have ever changed the course of human history like Jesus did. Everybody's afraid of the Muslims. Everybody thinks the Muslims have done some great thing. They've not done any great thing. It's not hard to spread hate among sinners. There's never been a person or a subject that more songs and poems and books have been written about. Nobody's got a claim to that. Nobody. Jesus. He's the one that all the songs are about. He's the one that every wonderful story and happy ending is about. He's involved in it. It's about him. All the learning and all the teachers that ever lived, you know, all the philosophers and the teachers and the learned men and all the colleges and all the efforts of all of humanity to better themselves and to educate themselves and to make themselves wise. There's all of them put together have not had as much influence as Jesus and what he taught in those 33 years that John said he supposed that if all the things he said were written, the world could not contain the books. You see, he did an awful lot while he was here in those 33 years. And then he handed the torch, if you will, to the apostles and to us. And it's been carried through all the ages. His name, everything done in his name has made the world a different place than it would have been. You think it's bad now? What would it be without Jesus? What would it be if he had never come? Look where we're at with that great influence. Think of what it would be without it. There's never been a name that is more universally known than the name of Jesus. Did you ever think about that? We talk about words like hallelujah is a word that's universal. It don't matter what language people speak, they understand that word. And it's pronounced the same basically too. Hallelujah. Jesus is that name that is more universally known by the human race than any other name. Think about that. There's reason for that. Because he was God in the flesh. He made an impact. And he still makes an impact. I am, he said. That's my name. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. That's who we're talking about. Never man spake like this man. That's why he made such an impact. That's one of the reasons. What manner of man is this, said the apostles, who were with him daily for 3 years? What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the waves obey his voice. The dead woke up. He broke up every funeral that he ever encountered. Nobody stayed dead in his presence. There's never been a name. There's never been a life story told more than the life story of Jesus Christ. We know about his life here on earth. We don't know about Herod's life. We don't know about Pilate's life. We don't know about Nero's life like we know about Jesus' life. I can say a lot there, but there's never been a person who's been more hated and rejected and evil spoken of than him. Ain't that something? The one with the greatest influence. The one that's the most known. The one who's done the most for humanity. And it's an indisputable fact. There wouldn't be any hospitals. There wouldn't be any orphanages. There wouldn't be any missions. There wouldn't be anything. There wouldn't be any sweet songs to sing if it wasn't for him. And yet the world hates him. He's the one that's banned. It's just those prayers in the name of Jesus that are banned in public places. It's just his law that's banned from the courthouses and from it's his birth scene, nativity scene, that's banned from public places. His. Jesus. It's that name that offends this world. And yet he's the one that's done the most for this world. Good. And yet they hate him the most. There's never been a person in all of history. Now think about this. Who has borne more reproach than Jesus Christ. This world hates Jesus Christ more than they hate Adolf Hitler. John Wayne Gacy, is that his name? These mass murderers and these evil people and Charles Manson. There's more people hate Jesus Christ. They think worse of him than they think of those kind of people. Nobody's ever lived like that. Nobody's ever bore that shame like that. And what? You tell me. What did he do to deserve that reproach? What did he say? Who did he hurt? Who did he wrong? What damage did he do? None. The only damage he does is to your self-righteousness and your self-love and your selfish soul. He annihilates that if you get close enough to him. He demands that you surrender that. That's exactly why the world hates him. That's exactly why the scribes and the Pharisees had him murdered. Now there's never been a greater... There's never been a greater influence on the human race than Jesus Christ. And there's never been a greater or more consistent influence on human history than Jesus Christ. I'm saying it stayed the same all through the ages. In all ages, Jesus is the same. And his power to save and change lives continues through all ages. 2,000 years ago, to 2018 here. We're almost to 2019. Still the same. Still the same. That name still is the only name. Under all governments, under all cultures, in all cultures, and in all circumstances, Jesus never fails to be the answer and the greatest influence over all others. That's true. Think about it. We're talking about a lot of time here. You know, our little life is nothing. It's just a blip, if it's that much on the screen. And yet, we're talking about thousands of years here that his power to influence stays the same. Stays the same. It's consistent. He stayed the same through all the changes of all of these years, through the Dark Ages and through the the wars where the Catholic Church was trying to take over the Holy Land, the Crusades and all of the Catholic Church and then the split in the Catholic Church and all through all of this time and discovering the new world and all, you know, just think of all the changes that have happened through all the centuries, how the major changes in the human race have just changed everything. And yet he is exactly the same. It's still the same message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, etc., etc.
Yeah.
In whom we have redemption,
yes,
through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Yeah. It rings with as much power,
yes,
no matter what language it's in, no matter what color the people are listening to, no matter what their situation, their circumstances, where they live in the world, what they've been taught. It's the same message.
Amen.
That's wonderful.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we ought to be remembering this morning. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that spans all of history and stays the same regardless of the other influences that come and go, that arise and rule and reign for a while and then vanish and disappear. Right. Jesus, his kingdom's an everlasting kingdom. Never changes. It ain't never going away. It ain't never going to collapse. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
That's right.
It's going to last. Through all this, heaven and earth are going to pass away. But not this. No, sir. Where are you a citizen? This morning, men change. They change their laws. And they change their values. They change their way of thinking. From generation to generation. From age to age. From century to century. From decade to decade. Now it's from year to year. Or month to month. They change their values. Their morals. Their laws. Their way of thinking. You know, 10 years ago we didn't have this nonsense thinking of gender confusion and all that. You realize that? 10 years ago?
Yes, sir.
It wasn't no deal. It wasn't no thing. Now it is. David sent me a picture last night of Trump with long red hair like a woman and that goofy looking ugly grin of his on his face, you know, like that. Said he'd been told that the Democrats just told him that he could choose his own gender now. And so he decided he was a woman. He was going to be the first woman president. Sorry, Hillary, he said. See what confusion? See what a mess? How could anybody argue with him in the state everything is right now? I'm glad that I'm in a realm that doesn't change. Doesn't get all goofy like that. It's stable and steady and consistent. I'm not changing and confused and coming up with something new every month, every year. Men change. He doesn't change. Men change their morals and their way of thinking. They change their understanding of what is true and what is not. But Jesus never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why his power to influence, his power to save is like it is. It's consistent. There's never been a greater or more consistent influence in human history. There's never been anybody. There's never been any religion. There's never been any philosophy that has stayed the same through it all. It's adjusted and retrofitted to fit everything as you go and as things change. And that's what they're doing now with this modern worship, see? It ain't Christianity. It ain't Jesus they're talking about. He ain't like that. He never was, and he won't be now. Jesus, the same. He's consistent. Yesterday, today, and forever. Nations, kingdoms, and empires come and go. And they sure do. And you're living in one that's a-going. It came, and it's going. You're seeing the decline and the demise of this civilization that you have known. And everybody has counted it as eternal and all of that. It's not. Nations rise and nations fall. They come and they go. But Jesus is the consistent hope through it all. That's why I'm glad that I can stand here this morning and tell you it don't matter if it does. If you got your faith and your hope in Christ, you really do. If you cast it all in with the Lord, then you don't have a thing to worry about. Your citizenship is secure. Your future is safe. Your hope is steadfast and sure.
Yes, sir.
Not to worry. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
And he's good to his word.
Yes, sir.
That's another thing that makes him stable and the consistent influence through all the ages is that he does what he says. Right? There's never been any hope offered to the human race that can be substantiated other than Jesus Christ. He is, now listen to me, He is the only hope for every human being that ever lived. He is the only hope that can be substantiated. Oh, they've offered lots of things. The masses of humanity have sought through the ages for some kind of hope and assurance in this life and for what lies beyond death. They've looked for it in religion and in mysticism and even witchcraft and any mysterious supernatural fantasy that has been dreamed up by the minds of men and devils. They've looked for it there. Look for hope. Look for security, safety, assurance, rest for their soul. But they've never found it. All of them fail to provide the peace and assurance in the heart. There is only one way. And there is only one hope. And that is in Him. This babe in a manger we're talking about. Not in the fact that He was a babe in a manger, but Him being born as a baby is as much a part of it as the cross. He had to be born to die. And He was born to die for our sins. That's what His purpose in coming here was. But all of the religions and all of the schemes and plans of men to fix this problem we've got of sin and evil in this world around us and the guilt of our own heart, they've all failed. And they will always fail. There's only one hope. Only one. This is the only hope. The only chance. Him. He is the only hope. He's been the most consistent influence for good on humanity all through all these ages. He has been the greatest influence on humanity in everything for all these ages. And He's the only hope for all ages. And that's indisputable. What these false religions and what these schemes of man do, they offer a refuge of lies and self-deceit to answer the protest of a guilty conscience and a heart that longs for something that's true and everlasting. They don't have anything. They don't offer truth. They offer lies and deceit. And I'm talking about all religions. All religions. You can inject the name Jesus Christ into a dead religion and it don't bring life to it. It's Him. It's in Him that we live and breathe and have our being. It's in Him. It ain't in religion. It ain't in Baptists or anything else. That's a religion that is as bad as any of the rest of them. He must have the preeminence. I read a little quote by Tozer the other day, and it was really good. He said he'd come to the place where denominational identification wasn't meaning much to him. He looked for something else. He looked for that longing in the eye. That if a man had that eye toward God, yeah, that's what I look for too. I look for something besides. Well, I'm a Baptist. I've been baptized. I go to church, and I've always been, and I believe this, and I believe that. I look for more than that. This Jesus we're talking about here, and His influence is in the hearts of men. I mean, the kingdom of God is within you. That's where He rules. Does He rule in you? Is He, really? Has He been born in you? Has He found room in there? Has there been room made for Him? Satan's lie to the world is to solve their guilty conscience is to simply redefine good and evil. Here's what you do. You just call, if you got a guilty conscience and this thing's bothering you, just say it's good and say anybody that says it's bad is wrong and they're evil. That's what you do. You call evil good and good evil. You just imagine that you're right and they're wrong and they ain't got no right to judge you. That's what you do. That's how you do it. Does it work? No, it does not work. It just makes you put on a show and present an image of you are sure of yourself when in your heart you're condemned and guilty and miserable and wretched and poor and naked. That's what it does. Before God. Satan's lie. That's what it does. So he invents religions and helps men to invent religions and schemes and supernatural phenomena and all of this that people run to try to calm that soul that's not at peace. Only those who truly come to know Jesus Christ find a hope that is steadfast and sure. He is the only hope. There's nothing. There is no hope in none of that other stuff. There's no hope in the Pope. There's no hope in any other religion. They're all popish. In just a different manifestation of the same old thing. Trying to cover your sins. Not going to prosper that way. Not going to have peace that way. Sadly, and to the great and tragic loss of so many people, the true message of Jesus Christ and the gospel has been so watered down and misrepresented and misunderstood that the devil's been able to even make it appear as just another religion or invention of men. You hear what I'm saying? It's been so misrepresented. There's never been anything that's been lied about more than what it means to know Jesus Christ in the forgiveness of sins. Nothing's ever been lied about more than that. Nothing's ever been misrepresented more than that has. There's never been any more detour signs put up anywhere than when it comes to that matter. But it's still true that neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. It's still true. There is no other name. There is no other way. There is no other hope. You will not have peace. You'll not have security. You'll not have forgiveness. Your soul will never be at rest unless you meet this babe in the manger we're talking about today. And you know him. You know his life. You know what he did for you. And you know him. Not just about him. Not just know that he was born. Know that he lived. Know that he died. Know that he rose from the dead. Knowing all that ain't going to do it. You got to know him. You got to come to know him. If he is your king, and you've found what an innumerable multitude has found through all the ages of human history to be the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If he's your king, he's the way, the truth, and the life. If you found him, you found what a multitude that no man can number out of all of humanity has found through the ages. Even though it's a remnant, even though the vast majority of people have never found him, they only know him. They know the name. They know the story. They celebrate Christmas. And they celebrate what they call Easter. The fact that he rose from the dead. But they've turned it into drunken parties and times to celebrate their lasciviousness. And they're going to bust hell wide open knowing about Jesus in a manger. Knowing about Jesus on the cross. Knowing about Jesus coming as the king. They're going to die and go to hell anyway. Ain't that a shame? But if he's your king, it's different. If Christ is formed in you, then you know that all these things are so. You know he's the greatest that ever lived. You know there's no name like that name. You've given him a name which is above every name. A name that is above every name. God has highly exalted him. Obviously. You don't have to look to heaven to know that. You can look around at the wicked world around you to know there ain't no name like this one. There ain't never been nobody like this man. He was much more than a man. You can't even argue with the fact. The evidence is overwhelming and indisputable. You better consider him. Yes, sir. The infidel is a fool. He's a self-deceived, lying to himself fool. There's more evidence for the life and the resurrection of Christ than anything else in the world. This doesn't happen. A liar doesn't influence humanity like he did and does. It just doesn't. If it wasn't, old Gamaliel had it right in the book of Acts. He said, if this is a work of God, you can't stop it. But if it's a work of man, you can just wait. It'll pass by. And it ain't passed by. No, sir. It ain't passed away. It ain't faded. It ain't weakened. It ain't evaporated. No, sir. In spite of all the scandalous things that have happened in our generation, all Jesus' name still, it's the one. It's the only one. It's the one with the power. All right? If he has found a room in your heart to abide, then you know what so many others have known since he was first spoken of in the Garden of Eden. The gospel was preached to Abraham. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. The gospel was preached. The gospel, it says that plainly. I'm not twisting words or scriptures to make it say that. It says the gospel was preached to Abraham. And then in Hebrews chapter 4 and 2, it says the gospel was preached to the children of Israel. And the Bible says that rock that followed them in the wilderness, how many of you know what that rock was? That rock was Christ. Followed them in the wilderness. And Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the riches of Egypt. All the treasures of Egypt. The reproach of Christ. Moses knew about Christ. Abraham knew about Christ. Adam and Eve knew about Christ. Noah knew about Christ. All through the ages. Do you know what they knew? Hey, do you know what they knew about this man? They knew the gospel was preached to all who lived before Christ. Now think about this. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 6 says the gospel was preached to them that are dead. Now people want to make some spook and bugger thing out of that, like Jesus went to the dungeons of the dead and preached to those that were dead. That is foolishness. These people that are dead now had the gospel preached to them. That's what the Bible is saying. So that they're without excuse. They understand. Abraham knew it. Moses knew it. All of them knew it. And the Bible's clear about it. He was born in a manger 2,000 years ago, approximately. But that wasn't his beginning. And that wasn't the first time that men had heard about him. The Old Testament, he told the scribes and the Pharisees, read them. Read the scriptures. Moses and the prophets. You think, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He's all over the Old Testament. It's all about him. He was born. These shepherds we read about a while ago, and the wise men, they were expecting him to come. Everything's been so misrepresented. I've been noticing in these Christmas songs, you know, all this mix up about the wise men and the shepherds and all that, the order of that happened. The songs are full of the misrepresentations of what happened that night and how it all played out. But anyway, that's beside the point. They knew he was coming. We know he has come. Yeah. Not only do we know that he's come, but we've got 2,000 years of proof that he is the Christ because of what he has done and continues to do in the hearts of men in these 2,000 years. We've got written history. You know, it's indisputable. We know what has happened because he came in the last 2,000 years. They knew he was coming and just trusted God and his promise, but they didn't receive the promise, but they saw him afar off and they embraced him. And here we are on the other side. We know he's come. We've seen what he's done. We know what his 33 years of living on this earth was like. And we know what the last 2,000 years has been like with the Holy Ghost and his presence and his church and the work he's done in humanity. So heavy is over our heads if we don't worship him and if we don't seek him out. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh, and if we won't even give him the time of day, where are we going to be found?
Right.
The choice is as simple as this. Y'all listen to me. Here's your choice in life. This is your choice for eternity. It's very simple. Here's your choices. Despair or Jesus. Now make your choice. That's your choice. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, in him are all the riches and treasures of wisdom and knowledge and life. In him is light. Without him is darkness. You can have your religions. Try them. Go ahead. Test them out. You're going to find out. Nothing but darkness. Nothing but despair. Nothing but leaving you a hanging over hell when you need help the most. The only thing, the only hope is Jesus. The only hope it ever has been. Ever will be. He. It's him. The proof is there in history. The proof is there right around you right now. I can tell you. There ain't no hope but Jesus.
That's right.
Now, all of us sitting in here who do know him can tell you, we've tried other things. None of them work. None of them satisfy the soul. None of them cause you to be born again. None of them give you new life. None of them give you any real hope. The only hope is when you find him and when you find yourself in him. When your faith is in Christ and you trust in him and not in yourself, not in your faith, not in your righteousness, not in your religion, not in what somebody else has told you, but you find this person that we're celebrating his birth today, you got to find him. That's the choice. It's despair or Jesus. Looks like that'd be an easy choice, wouldn't it? If people just believed and understood that is a fact. How can I make it any? How can I prove it to you? When you won't, if you won't look at human history and see, that is the only hope. It tells you loud and clear. We can't go back and visit the manger without looking ahead to the future. His influence on the human race from that point on. We're looking at a babe in a manger. That's what everybody's thinking about at Christmas time. But so what? If it's just a babe in a manger, that ain't what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the fact that what the angel told the shepherds, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Which is Christ the Lord. Jesus told him, he said, Abraham longed to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Abraham longed for that, to hear that announcement. A Savior is born. Who's Christ the Lord? The seed of Abraham, the promised seed of Abraham is Jesus. The promised seed to Eve is Jesus. Going to bruise the devil's head. Here he is. The announcement's been made. Everything's changed now from here on out. He has come. Hallelujah. And suddenly there was with the angel a heavenly host. And they were saying, glory to God in the highest. Ain't never been nothing. I mean, they didn't do that when God created the heavens and the earth. They didn't do that when God created Adam in the garden. This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to date in history. Jesus is born in Bethlehem in a stable. And the world has hope. And not only, and don't look at it like the world, look at it as personal. His influence and effect on my own life. When I look at that babe in the manger, I got to think about what that meant to my life. You need to think about what that means to your life. If that hadn't happened so long ago, where would you be right now? Well, let me hurry here. I'm done. Christmas time should be a time of reflecting on what it means to you personally that Jesus did come and was born and lived as a man, that he might die and provide a way for us to be forgiven of our sins and be born again in a resurrected life forever. And that's what Christmas ought to be about. We give our gifts and we eat our meals and we have our family and all of that and we enjoy all of that, but we should never, never let it go by. This ought to be the theme of it all. Our children shouldn't be able to grow up and act like heathens at Christmas time. It ought to be a time when they're always going to remember what we focused on and what we talked about and how it affected us. When it came this time of year, it's so abused and so materialized, and the world has stolen and defiled something that ought to be special to us. I don't believe we ought to not celebrate Christmas because of the way the world celebrates it. He's our Savior. Yeah. He's our Lord. We're the ones that He bought with His blood. We ought to remember and we ought to celebrate. We ought to celebrate and it don't matter. He wasn't born in December. We know that. Doesn't matter about that. All that's irrelevant. This is just the time when we're celebrating His birth. Now you can try celebrating it in September if you want to. But it's also a time for God's people to speak up and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's a time to exalt Him.
Yes.
Instead of just joining the free-for-all out there and acting like the rest of them, being swallowed up in their madness.
Right.
Just remember, there's never been anybody like Him, never will be. He's the greatest that ever was born. It was a lowly birth, but it was the greatest that it was ever born. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Amen. Bow with me. Lord, thank You for coming. Oh, thank You for living. Defeating sin and the devil. Overcoming the flesh and the world. Thank You for defeating death and abolishing it. Thank You for the promise of Your return. And Lord, that we look forward to every day. Lord, help us to be faithful. And help us to occupy until You come. Help us to remember these things and help us, Lord, to live in them daily. Lord, we love You and thank You for paying that great price. My, how You have suffered and still suffer. for the sin of mankind. Lord, help us to see the lost come to you, these loved ones that are lost, and even maybe some among us this morning. I don't know. I pray there wouldn't be anybody here that would go away at enmity with thee. How in the world? Why in the world? How could it be that somebody could turn away from you? I don't understand that. But I know it's true, and I know that's what the world does. But I just want to say this morning that I love you, and I'm thankful to you for loving me and for accepting me and redeeming me. And Lord, I know everybody here feels the same way. Though there are people who love you, and I'm one of them. Pray you'd bless the word to our heart. Help us, Lord, to keep you in the forefront of everything in these days, this time of the year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.